Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We will see mainly cloudy skies as we head into the evening hours. Slight possibility of a rain shower or a flurry in places. Temperatures are right around 30. A flurry or snow shower possible tonight and dropping into the upper 20s by dawn. High pressure begins to move in from the west on Friday. Skies turning partly cloudy, highs near 40, and a sunny Saturday with highs approaching 50. Clouds begin to increase Sunday, but our weather should stay dry to close out the weekend. Sunday's high 52. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel.
Talk 620.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On for a Thursday night. Kind of foggy and miserable around hereabouts, and might be a little bit glazy out there. So, by all means, be careful as you go about your days and ways and your evenings. Here in beautiful uptown Beckley and surrounding areas. If you've got something you want to get into this evening, that's fine. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. And we stream. Yes, we stream live every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. Email to WWNRNetphase.net. That comes right here to the studio. On the other hand, if you've got something you need to say that you think maybe I ought to read later or might not have time, too voluminous to do on the air, send it to bob@headonradio.com. There's a link to headonradio.com through the station's website. There's message boards there. You can get in there, raise a ruckus, have a good time. Jump on in there. It's free. And it's sort of the surrogate for the show during the 21 hours of the day that we're not on the air. Listen, I can only do so much. Now, an announcement for you, something I'm kind of proud of. In the never-ending effort to make the show more acceptable, not acceptable, accessible. We're going to be acceptable. Who am I trying to kid? John Kepi's across the board here, about to have an aneurysm. Acceptable. Please. But in order to make it more accessible, I'm very proud to announce that Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org has very graciously agreed to archive the program. So anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you want to hear the night before show, the night before show, starting with last night, mind you, the show will be archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And take a few moments and learn a little bit about the White Rose Society itself. It has historical roots, and you might find that they're quite an inspiration. By any measure. WhiteRoseSociety.org for this program and many, many other good progressive and liberal radio shows. Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, and a number of others that you can listen to at your leisure if you get tired of the, and many of you do, the right-wing megaphone. Now, I would be remiss if, and many of us would just be apparently living in some cave somewhere if we didn't acknowledge the fact that there was a State of the Union address last night. I went dark at about 9 o'clock when the pig-eyed little murderer started yammering on. And I've got a huge stack of notes here, but Social Security really was the gist of it. Once you got past the purple-fingered Republicans making a mockery of the Iraqis, once you got fit. And I'm still having trouble getting past, I got to tell you, the kiss. you saw the kiss, right? George Bush, who thinks he has a man date, gave a big old kiss to Joe Lieberman. Ew! Ew! Queer eye for the president guy. Ew! And, ooh, oh, yuck. Yeah, beyond that, take a run by Bart Kopp today. He's got a Jim Dandy page today, too. And you can go to a link that he has on the page of Biden disgracing himself. It's hilarious. Joe Biden acting on the script he's been handed, sitting there, the only one clapping, four claps before he realizes, hey, wait, I missed my cue. And you got footage of Dick Cheney stuffing his fat, filthy face, eating during the State of the Union address. Oh, it just doesn't let up. But Social Security is the bottom of the bottom line. And I'd like for us to start with the idea that we're beginning our side, this Social Security debate, way out on the learning curve. Yeah, damned old, mean, rotten, hateful, heartless Republicans have gotten away with defining the terms of the debate again.
There's a crisis in Social Security. Our children won't have no Social Security.
See, you need to understand, George W. Reaper needs to free up that Social Security money for the next big war. But again, you know, he knows that the only class of Americans that'll go for the pitchforks and torches is the generation that sweated and bled and died for Social Security. So, being a mean, greedy, filthy, hateful, pig-eyed punk Republican, he assumes that our oldest Americans, our greatest generation, are every bit as mean and greedy and hateful as his own mean, greedy, hateful parents. And that if he can just promise older America that he won't touch their money, they'll leave him be and let him get away with the biggest heist since the Brinks job. He can't really help it, George can't. You know, what would you think of that generation if on the very day when you were a little bitty boy, on the day they buried your baby sister, Mommy and Daddy hustled you off to the sitter and went to play golf? To see George Herbert, Herbert Bush, and Babs did that. Pretty heartless, huh? Four! But that's just the way it is with the Bush family. Not the way it is with our older generation, the greatest generation. The greatest generation never fought for themselves. They fought for the ones who gave them life. They fought for the future. They fought for the ones they hoped to give life to. Blood that spilled was spilled for their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. And you see, now our nation calls to older Americans to take up the torch of liberty again, and teach my generation and the generations even younger what dedication and passion and determination really mean. What patriotism really means. Because you see, we can't count on Republicans for patriotism. How could we? They're Republicans in the first decade of the 21st century. By definition, they're un-American. They're corporatists. No flag, no creed, no oath, no trust means anything for them. The only thing that matters is money, sunshine. I wouldn't trust some greedy, bloodthirsty Republican next to me in a trench or at my back in a dark alley. They're not Americans, they're collaborators. Get your history books and go read up on the Vichy French. So, like I said, an older America has a job to do. Again. Sorry, guys. No rest yet. Your country needs you. Again. Your country needs you to stand up with one voice and explain to the hateful Republicans that it's a fundamental American family value not to stab the next generation in the back. It's a fundamental American family value to fight when evil walks the land.
It's a fundamental American family value not to let another dirty Republican president put America on the oatmeal diet like Herbert Hoover did. It's a fundamental American family value not to let some sick politician tear this nation apart. Honest to God, did you hear that jackbooted jack... stop it, Bob. Did you hear the bushwhacker say,
as a parent of children in their 20s, I worry about Social Security.
Ooh! Like Barbie and Jenny. A Jenny is the female version of it. Stop it. Like Barbie and Jenny are ever going to need Social Security. They're going to suck at that trust fund trough for 100 years. Really, though, how can you take seriously a guy who wants to reform Social Security, who reformed Texas and left it in a $10 billion hole? How can you take seriously a man who destroyed every business venture he ever got anywhere near? How can you take seriously a man who loses $9 billion?
Dog ate it.
How can you take seriously a man who has about as much use for Social Security as a hog does for a Sunday suit? But that was the message, wasn't it?
Social Security is okay for you old people, but it's dying for everybody else. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't to me. It's either dying for everyone or it's dying for no one.
Oh, and if Social Security is solvent for the 55 and over crowd, is it solvent for the 3-year-old who gets a check every month because his daddy died in a car wreck caused by a drunk Republican preacher? Is it, George, you mean, stupid, greedy, pig-eyed con artist? Is it?
In 1946, every Social Security recipient was supported by 16 workers.
Oh, yeah, dim son, 16 workers at $1.25 an hour, but not by the rich. Oh, well, some things never change, I guess, huh? But see, they framed the debate. It's what I started on. They framed the debate before we ever got into it. Screw that. Ask older America. Ask older America what's wrong with Social Security. They'll tell you, sunshine. What's wrong is that it doesn't pay enough, and it doesn't pay soon enough. Why? Because America's rich are un-American, and they refuse to pay into the fund.
See, there's that Bob trying to start a class war. Don't he understand what matters is whether the queers get married? Rich folks has got their own problems. They got all them $10,000 shower curtains and $15,000 umbrella stands and lark's vomit canapes and fricasseed hummingbird tongues to pay for. They can't be putting their wet umbrellas in the tub and buying shower curtains at the dollar store and eating brown beans and cornbread like the rest of us.
Or cat food, apparently, either. Because, sunshine, we're the cat food generation. Us tail end of the baby boom types. Us 40-somethings. Because, see, I've done the math. I know what happens to my Social Security that I've paid into since I was 15 years old. If President Roulette Boy gets his way, and cat food, I promise you, is the good part. But as far as I'm concerned, I refuse to eat cat food. Hey, ask my friends. I'm a better than average cook. I can take the cuts of meat that Republicans won't even think twice about and turn it into a gourmet meal. I can take a miserable piece of flank steak and make you swear you'd rather have that than steak Dion with lark's vomit canapé garni. I can do things with chicken livers that Republicans would pay lots of money for, not that I'd take their blood-soaked money. Oh, and what I can do with a few chunks of wet hickory and a miserable cut of pork and a lot of thyme? Oh, baby. Barbecue. And let me say it again, I refuse to eat George's cat food. Absolutely. On the other hand, little hand-pulled hickory-smoked repiglican might be tasty. Fatty, but tasty. And with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Hey, there's a reason it's called Long Pig. And a good barbecue sauce covers up most mistakes. So we can assume it'd cover up lifestyle mistakes, too. Like being a repiglican. You know, George, I won't eat cat food. Really. I won't. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a direct TV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room direct TV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my direct TV system.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-641-0928. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver offer ends February 28, 2005. Call now.
Once upon a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck had a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or, a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Can you still hear the lambs, Clarice?
I'm Bob. This is Head On, the your nightly confrontation with the facts. And, of course, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Like I said, I got this big, big stack of notes from the State of the Onion address, if you can call it that. And also, there were some notable things last night. The booing. Now, I heard some people say it was booing, and it was some people said it was Democrats saying no. I'd really far prefer that it was booing, because it would almost mean that my party was furtively trying to grow a spine. Oh, shame on those Democrats. Booing Jesus W. Bush. Shame, shame. I hate to break it to you. And I'm not talking about the decent people. I'm talking about the Republicans, the neo-Confederates. I hate to remind you, but let's see. Sherman sent the Wayback Machine for 1995. Yeah, 1995. Republicans booed Clinton and walked out during the speech. 1997, Republicans booed Clinton's opposition to the balanced budget amendment. 1998, Republicans booed Clinton's Medicare proposal, mainly the patient's Bill of Rights. You do remember that. That's long dead. Rights? You middle class, you lower class people, you don't need no stinking rights. We'll tell you what your rights are, all right? Because that's our job. We're Republicans. And, of course, 1999, at the entrance to the State of the Union, the Republicans booed Clinton again. And a smattering of boos when he first entered the House chamber. And some Republicans barely applauded or refused at all to clap. Compare that with the video you can get at BartCop today, BartCop.com. Biden disgraces himself. Go watch it. Look at him. I mean, first of all, it's precious just to see Dick Cheney stuffing his fat face during the speech. Even he doesn't respect George Bush. My God. Your own puppet master doesn't have any sitting there eating during the speech. I don't know. Then again, maybe those were some of the snacks that he picked up at his camp trip to Auschwitz. Nope, not going to that one. Not going. But then you see Biden, Joe Biden. Merciful God, sitting there with the script in his hand. Clapping when nobody else is clapping and then sort of mutters to himself. Poor Joe Biden wants to be president so badly that he'll prostitute himself out any way he possibly can. And really, am I the only guy that saw the kiss? I mean, look, I have long held the opinion that affection is one thing, public displays of it in gross fashion are another. You know, and like I said the other night, I'm a human first. And as a human, you know, I have limits, I guess. And I don't want to see heterosexuals or homosexuals getting it on in public. You know, whether it's a couple in the mall or a football game or whatever. And that, yeah. I mean, it was rife with symbolism, wasn't it? You know, George Bush going and giving a big old wet one to Joe Lieberman. I'm sorry. Did 30 pieces of silver change hands? What was that kiss? Was that the kiss that tells the rest of America that Joe Lieberman is ready to sell out and support George Bush's Brinks job on Social Security? Was that what that was? That that meant something. What did we constantly hear during the Clinton zipper hunt? Actions mean things. Words mean things. Sunshine, when the president of the United States, who wants to steal us blind, goes down and gives a noted Democratic senator from Connecticut a big old wet sloppy, it means something. Blech. And you gotta wonder what the Reverend Dobson would say. Oh, Reverend. Reverend, help us. You think that's what it is? You know, he goes to bed early, George does. He probably watches a little SpongeBob before he goes to sleep, and he's got him all gay now. Oy vey. Look, we got to take our bottom of the hour break. If you're on hold, stay there, please. We'll come to you right out of the break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah. Ooh. We'll be right back.
evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The National Park Service says it will fight a proposal by a private company to construct an upscale housing development along the New River Gorge near Fayetteville. Land Resource Management wants 4,300 acres of land overlooking the gorge to be rezoned from rural residential and land conservation to planned unit development. The land lies between the boundaries of the Park Service. It had wanted to buy the property, but federal funding was not immediately freed up to close the deal. New River Gorge National River Superintendent Cal Height says the development could be visible from several popular overlooks from the east side of the gorge and could have a negative impact on sightseeing by tourists. He also is concerned about the effect the development would have on plant life in the gorge. Fayette County Planning Commission will consider Land Resource Company's application on February 22nd. Police are investigating the death of a man whose body was found Wednesday in Pineville. A passerby on Bank Street discovered the body behind Cook's Lumber and Supply just after noon. The victim's identity has not been released pending notification of relatives. Police say no foul play was involved. An autopsy, though, will be performed to determine the cause of death. More allegations of sexual misconduct have surfaced against a Boone County minister. A January grand jury indicted Daniel Eric Perdue on 22 counts involving one child. The indictment includes one count of attempted first-degree sexual abuse, 11 counts of sexual abuse by a parent, guardian, or custodian, and 10 counts of third-degree sexual assault. Perdue pleaded innocent to the charges today. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy and chilly, still a chance of a lingering snow shower or light rain shower. Then tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 26 for tomorrow. Becoming sunny by afternoon, we begin to warm up tomorrow. Upper 30s for Friday, and then by Saturday and Sunday, we will be partly cloudy with a high both days near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The AFL-CIO has chosen not to endorse anyone in a race that some say will determine the future of the Democratic Party. Upon hearing the news, former Texas Congressman Martin Frost, who is depending on an endorsement from the Labor Federation, announced his intent to drop out of the race for chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Union officials say Frost didn't show enough movement to win labor support. The departure of Frost narrows the field to former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, New Democrat Network President Simon Rosenberg, former Indiana Representative Tim Romer, and political consultant Donnie Fowler. Gerald McEntee, president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, told the Associated Press that at the AFL-CIO political meeting, some were for Frost and some were for Dean, but the committee decided that it would be best to let individual unions decide for themselves. Many see Frost dropping out as a boost for Fowler, who has tried to position himself as the anti-Dean. While the AFL-CIO has chosen not to endorse anyone, individual unions have begun announcing support for candidates. Just this week, the United Auto Workers and the United Steelworkers of America gave their nods to Howard Dean. The vote will be held in Washington, D.C. on February 12th.
As President Bush brings his Social Security privatization pitch to Midwest states today, including North and South Dakota and Nebraska, the AFL-CIO is joining other progressive groups to rally against it. AFL-CIO Midwest Representative Shelley Seberg says that draining money from Social Security into private accounts undermines Social Security while creating as much as $2 trillion in more federal debt. Seberg says not only does Bush's irresponsible scheme not strengthen Social Security, but it undermines it.
Well, the truth of the matter is, under the Bush plan, Social Security would run out of money 14 years sooner than is now expected. And so essentially, this makes Social Security funding problems even worse, not better.
France may soon see an end to its 35-hour work week. While a recent poll shows the majority of French workers don't want to work more, the parliament has begun a three-day debate on the issue. They are debating a bill that would allow workers to clock more than 35 hours a week in return for more pay. The government issued a statement that says a longer work week is important to keep the country's economy stimulated.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. This year, according to Deloitte and Touche, the top 100 global financial services firms will offshore more than $200 billion of their operating costs. TechWeb says offshoring in information tech industries is expected to grow nearly 20% each year through 2008, with the average company sending 60% of its computer application work to low-wage nations by 2009. According to a University of California Berkeley study, 14 million Americans hold jobs at risk of being outsourced. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. Coming up on 24 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful, here in Uptown Beckley. Not a lot to be said for it tonight. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And if you want to get involved with the program, get a line open or so. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR-9967. And as promised, let's go straight to the phones. And Jim, hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Pretty good.
So you mean there was osculatory activity between Bush and Lieberman?
Osculatory activity on the part of Bush.
You mean Bush laid one on him?
Yeah, boy.
Are you slipping the tongue?
Quit it. Now, see, my kids are listening.
They know what they're talking about. Don't stand on ceremony with me, Bob. By the way, let me tell you something. That... I'll say so-and-so, who runs the morning show, made some kind of comment about your name, SpongeBob. And, you know...
What?
Oh, yeah. He called you SpongeBob.
You're kidding.
No. And several complainers, and one guy called and complained. And I thought it was totally inappropriate, because you've always been a gentleman, and you've always tried to keep things on a very even keel and keep a level playing field in spite of your ideological differences. And... you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's as much difference between you and that individual as there is between chicken stuff and chicken salad.
I hope I'm the chicken salad.
You are.
Okay, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. You and Dr. Bob have an education, and you have the facts to prove what you say. The other gentleman doesn't have much education, obviously. Guffaws and sounds like he smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
No, that's me.
No, that's him.
No, I'm the 5-pack-a-day guy.
No, you don't sound like it. You don't sound like it. Okay.
Well, I tell you, Jim.
I think your vocal cords are free of nodes and things like that. His, I don't know, but I thought what he did was totally inappropriate, and he tried to laugh it off and make fun of it, and I took some steps for it, and I complained to the radio station authorities there.
Well,
and I said, this is not appropriate.
Jim, a lesser guy would throw a fit, and I mean me.
I know.
Yeah. But I'm not going to.
Okay? No,
because, you see...
You let me do that for you.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is...
I'm a listener, you know, I am a patron of the people who basically keep that station on the air, okay?
Sure.
And as a consumer and as a patron... And as a listener, and I don't listen to that morning show. I just have to catch it when I was turning the radio on to PBS, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I heard it, and I said, you know, I said, what is this? And I said, good Lord. And it was just petty, stupid, and, you know, I surfaced the issue with Shane Southern.
Okay, well, Jim, you know, I'm hard pressed to really explain this, but no, and very few people believe this.
You don't have to explain anything.
Well, no, this is a tough business.
I know it is.
I
don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how you handle some of the calls you handle. I told you that.
Well, it's what I do. I mean,
right.
to some degree or another. Oh God, I think since I was in first grade, I've been involved in some level of performance art. Okay, theater,
okay.
Whether it's theater or radio, public speaking, that you know. I've been before the public.
This is your métier.
Yes, thank you.
But it takes a lot of work, and the simple fact is, and I guess I'm sort of violating the code of the guild. It's like a magician telling how the tricks are done. If you can do this, what people like Dr. Bill and I and Steve do, if you can do this for 3 hours a day and make it sound like it's effortless, then you're succeeding. And it's all the, you know, and it's all, frankly, it's all the harder in a small market. You know, I got John Tepe across from me here, and man, he's a pro that could be working in New York right now. Okay?
I'm saying.
But that's all. You know, so I appreciate, you know, I want everybody, every commercial that runs on this station, I want somebody to go and do business with them. Because,
well,
you know, it's good for us. But the bottom line, Jim, the bottom line is, I'm not going to hammer Steve. Steve is a brother of mine.
Well,
Steve is a brother of mine in broadcasting, and this is a weird little fraternity or confraternity.
Okay.
It's kind of like the world of cooks and chefs. It's just, you know, it's a strange place, and we're all family here. And I know how hard it is. There are days you drag yourself in here and you think, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through 3 hours. And if it's not for people like you and Gary and Judy and Wayne and all the good people that call this show, you know, there are nights you just want to open a vein. Okay?
I can understand that.
So, that's me.
I have been in positions like that in my professional life. I can assure you, I know what you're talking about.
So, you know, I got all the respect in the world for Steve. I mean, that man gets up at 9 o'clock and comes in here at 9 o'clock in the morning and does 3 hours of radio with no talent whatsoever.
With no what?
No talent whatsoever. I mean, my God, I've got respect for that.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad you do. I don't for that individual. And that's just not...
We're all family here.
You know? Well, you know, you're very magnanimous, and you're much more magnanimous and generous with that individual than I would ever be. I would show him the back door. Let me go on and say what I want
to
say.
Yeah, please.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion, and I don't care who knows it.
And you're welcome to it.
As far as last night is concerned, when I heard what President Bush was trying to say, I thought to myself, well, you know, okay, you want these private accounts for Social Security. Well, they already have these things. They're called IRAs.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
And basically, what Bush is trying to do, in the first place, I don't hate anybody because hate, and I said this afternoon, requires too much effort on the part. You know, he's not worth hating. I mean, I would like to see him go the way of the dodo and go the way permanently and just leave. I don't care how he goes, but what the harm he's going to try to do this country and a lot of its institutions. But, you know, I don't like people who lie to me. And I don't like people who think that I'm so stupid that I'm going to sit there and take what they say at face value. Well, I have enough sense to know that this man is simply trying to take the Social Security program and do to it what they used to do to people in the 18th century and put leeches on their body and try to cure their ailments by letting blood from their veins. In other words, he's simply trying to destroy the program by a medical process that's known as exsanguination.
Yeah.
Or letting someone bleed to death.
George Washington therapy.
That's exactly what he's trying to do. And if he doesn't think that people can't see through that, then he is just absolutely out of his mind. And when he says anything that man says, because he's lied before and he'll lie again. And I've called him a liar.
Well, you know, if you didn't like last night because you were being lied to, it must have been hell on you. And I'm not making fun. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I sat there because I mean, I've heard enough from him in the past 4 years, so I just sat there and said, mm-hmm, and you know, just.
No, oh, I did. Difficult. I sat. Look, Jim, I was right here. You know, just because it was on didn't mean I left. You know.
I heard some guy start.
Yeah, that was savage. We got rid of him real quick.
You know, that guy, you know, he needs a brain transplant.
Well,
I mean, he really does. That man is just, I don't know, he's just sick.
But, the fact of the matter was, I sat here with my jaw on the ground. I mean, I couldn't believe that this guy had the unmitigated brass to just tell the lies he was telling. Oh, my God.
Now, who are you talking about? Bush?
George, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, George just sat there, and he, you know, he can look you square in the eye, and if he has so many people throughout his life, and basically take your money and just leave you with nothing. And that's what he's been, you know, people who do that, basically, I think, are sociopaths. And
you're
you know,
not
they
the,
have
you...
no compassion, they have no compunction, they have no conscience. and they really don't care.
You're not the first person to suggest that there is a sociopathic element to George Bush's
There's
character.
An extremely highly developed sociopathic element to that man.
I mean, I
and
made
people
a...
have criticized me for saying that I hate him. I don't. He's not worth hating. But I'm going to tell you this: I think he's dangerous, and they criticize me because they say I'm an American because I don't like him. Because this man rats in the flag in order to cover up many horrible traits and glaring, you know, inconsistencies and inadequacies. That's what he rats himself in the flag.
Well,
for.
The thing is, if you unwrap that flag from around him, Jim, you're staring straight into the abyss. I mean, straight into the fires and furnaces of hell.
Well, you know, he is just one of the unhealthiest people I've ever seen for this nation. And he is trying to destroy Social Security. And even when he went on the road today up to Fargo, you could hear people screaming they did not want this. And when I see people like Lieberman and jumping up, and, you know, it sort of reminds me of little puppets and things like that. I mean, that is very bad. Lieberman just may as well go ahead and just say he's a Republican.
Yes, yes.
He's nothing but he's not even a Democrat in name only. He's just a turncoat.
Yeah, I mean, we're already in the minority. We know that. You know, one more, one less, it's not going to make that much of a difference. Quit Joe. Split Joe. Go, Joe.
Go in.
Take your Joe-mentum right to the Republican Party where you belong.
Yeah, go for any good that you've been doing. Depart, I say, and have done with you. Go
exactly.
Over the other side.
Hey, Jim, I gotta get to another call, though.
I have one more thing now. Listen, now, give me some leeway here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And I thought you might be interested to know what these people make when they do up there. You know what their salaries are?
Lay it on me.
All right. The current salary for a rank and file representative or senator is $158,100 per year. Now,
good work if you can get it.
Now, just hold on a second. And you know, when they originally started, Benjamin Franklin said we should be paid anything.
Right.
And then from 1789 to 1815, they were paid $15 a session, or $1,500 a year. Now, basically, as of the 108th Congress, the majority leaders of both party and the minority leaders get $175,600. Tom DeLay makes $203,000 a year as the Speaker of the House.
Well, there's money down a rat hole.
Now, they'll finalize this little thing. I mean, you know, I can come up with some numbers, too, on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They are under the FERS of the Federal Employee Retirement System, and I'm not going to weary you with them, but basically they participate in Social Security,
mm-hmm.
and they, as a FERS employee since 1984, will give of their salary a certain percentage, and it's 1.3% into the FERS retirement plan, and they pay 6.2% into the Social Security system. Now, as far as the retirees are concerned under FERS, those who retired under FERS had an average age of 68.3 years, 21.6 years of federal service. And you know what the average monthly retirement payment is?
What?
$3,908 a month.
Mercy.
As you say, good work if you can get it.
Yeah. Now, but bear in mind, when we're talking about congressmen and senators, I want to make sure. Congressmen and senators do not pay into Social Security, correct?
Yes, they do.
They do?
They're under FERS.
You're certain of that?
I'm certain of that.
Okay. Well, you know, then, you know.
They do pay into Social Security. You
know, here's one of those moments where I eat crow.
Well,
because I have long said that if we can just make them pay into Social Security, they'd fix it.
Now, but I know. Now, you see, before 1984, they were under the Civil Service Retirement System.
Right.
Okay. But after 1984, then they became FERS employees, other federal employees.
And
I have been, you know, this has interested.
How long, Jim, as a congressman or a senator, how long do you have to serve to vest?
5 years.
So, in other words, 2.5 terms as a member of the House and 1 term as a member of the Senate.
Before you're vested in the retirement system. Now, basically, the information before me, and it says here in answer to your question, members of Congress are not eligible for a pension until they reach the age of 50, But if they have completed 20 years of service, but only if they've completed 20 years of service, members are eligible at any age after completing 25 years of service or after they reach the age of 62. Please also note that the members of Congress have to serve at least 5 years to receive a pension. And basically what it says here is that the amount of a congressman's pension depends on the years of service and the average of the high 3 years of his salary, the high three. By law, the starting amount of a member's retirement annuity may not exceed 80% of his or her final salary, which, of course, and that would be computed on the high three. But you see, they have other perquisites and other things that go along with their positions.
Oh, they got K Street.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the baseline. And the baseline, you know, like I say, it's good work if you can get it. If you can stay up there for as a representative for 10 terms or as a senator for, say, 3, then you have got a guaranteed annuity of $4,000 a month coming in. And, you know, that's not too bad as a baseline.
Yeah, and you get to keep your war chest when you quit, too, right?
I guess they do. I don't know anything about their campaign rules, but I was interested in that, and I called the library to check it because I found this on the Internet. And I just punched in Congressional Retirement System, and up it popped. And so, but...
But it's possible to knock off at 50, right?
Yeah, because in order to, I think...
But your average American, Jim, your average American has to work to what, 55, 67?
Right. Now, in order
they're so much better than us.
In order to be a congressman, you have to be at least 25, and I think in order to be a senator, you have to be at least 30.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
And then president, I think it's 35 as you have to be. So those are the age requirements on that. But like I say, it's good work if you can get it, and those people that you saw seated all around Mr. Bush are very well paid for what they do, and you have different salary schedules that are assigned to federal judges and things like that. But all of this you can find probably on the Office of Personnel Management website.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all the numbers, and that, you know, hey, I just got straightened up on something.
Well, you know, Bob, when I call you, I try to help.
I appreciate that. I will never again say that we could fix Social Security if only we made Congress pay into it.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted to look into that and see exactly what's going on here with that. And, but I don't think that what I suspect is this. In addition to Social Security, they can also participate in the Thrift Savings Plan.
I don't doubt it.
And that's handled at the National Finance Center, and that's like a 401k, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can put away a lot of money with making $150,100. And the government will match that 5%.
Woo! I want one of them!
Yeah, but, you know,
but
even then, that is much... Not as lucrative as the old CSRA system. The old system was much better. But, you know, Wayne can call you, and the guy who's a Social Security subject matter expert, he can explain FERS as opposed to CSRS, I guess.
Yeah, I think you've done a pretty good job. Jim, I do have to move along, though. There's folks waiting.
Well, you take care.
All right,
and
thanks.
We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. And let's see, Gary. Hey, Gary, how are you? You're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Hey, have you been doctor shopping lately by any chance?
No, why is that?
You seem like you went somewhere and got about 3 or 4 B12 shots.
Nah, I did. I was loaded for bear coming in this evening, Gary.
Oh, well, you seem like it.
That's
the good old Bob Kincaid. We like hearing that.
Good. Yeah.
That's the Bob Kincaid of his anniversary date, which I guess is what, yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a little sign that I've got hanging over my computer at home that says never mail it in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's just the way I feel about it. You know, this is what I do. And, you know, some nights it's more fierce than others. But, you know, when you've got lies told like what we got last night, you know, you can't get namby-pamby about it, Gary.
Well, that's true. And I did need to ask you a question. Are you going to put this archive site on your website?
I'll put a link to it as soon as I can.
Great.
But it's, you know, it's easy to get to. It's whiterosesociety.org.
Well, for us premature Alzheimer's patients.
get the brown crayon out and write it down, Gary.
Hey, I got some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
As long as the Democratic Party has guys like Joe Biden, who I think would make a great replacement for Bozo, Ted Kennedy, Schumer, Feinstein, people like that, there's always going to be a Republican Party. You know that, don't you?
Well, sure. I mean, and you know, as long as there are good Democrats, there will be a Republican Party, because there's no way to identify good without the presence of evil.
Touche, Bob.
You know, to mention Ted Kennedy in the same breath with Joe Biden, or God knows, Joe Mendham Lieberman. Oy.
Did you hear what the goofball did the other day?
Which?
Joe Biden.
I can't wait.
With the Iranians over in, I think it was Switzerland, did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
Well, this was on Russia's show, and maybe Rush slanted it a little bit, but Joe Biden was supposed to host an Iranian delegation, and they were supposed to discuss terms of Iranian nuclear policy.
Okay.
Joe Biden showed up an hour and a half late. He served them non-halal meat, which I assume is something like non-kosher meat.
Right.
They couldn't eat that. He served them
wine. Tell me he served them pork barbecue.
They didn't specify, but it was something they couldn't eat. Then he served them wine.
Did he invite them to a craps game after? I mean, they can't gamble either.
Then when he finally showed up, his wife was wearing skin-tight leather pants and like a little skinny halter top.
You know, I gotta think, you know, Flush Flembol can't open his mouth without telling a big stinking lie. So I gotta think that some of that's embellished, but by the same token, would I be surprised? No.
Well, Joe Biden, I mean, the guy is such a paradox. He's got a presence. He's a good speech maker. He seems authoritarian. I mean, but there's a side of it.
He's an even better speech writer as long as he's got somebody else's speech to bogart.
Yeah, but he seems like a man with so much potential, but then there's this flip side to him that is just so weak. So.
Well, it's this spinelessness, and Lord God, Gary, it's epidemic in my party.
You know, Bob, I tell you, you got me intrigued lately, because you've been talking a lot about the Democrats and how you don't think they've got a lot of spine here lately. And,
but they can be saved.
Well, I think that's a mark of a man who is who's very honest about things.
No, I appreciate that. But, you know, the other thing is, and Wayne has said it far better than me, Gary, I just turned 42, man. I do not have time to fight and birth a third party. I got to work with what I got. The Republican Party is just dead, okay? It is just as dead as an old holler stump.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you something. I think it's all dead. I really do. I think right now American people had better start following the CYA principle.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, if you're counting on this Social Security or anything at all out there to take care of you other than yourself, you might just be living in a dream world.
Well, if we let George get away with the Brinks job, you're absolutely right. But again, you know, I don't think my party's dead. It might be coughing up blood on the porch, but it's not dead yet. Now, it's got a bunch of knives sticking out of its back, and some of them have been put there by their own members.
Well,
but
Bob, you and I see it this differently. I see the Republicans and the Democrats basically as an accomplices to the same crime.
Well, there's an element of my party that you can't get around it, Gary. There's an element of my party that puts truth to every word you say.
Well, I mean, you know what really sold it for me was GATT and NAFTA.
Well, GATT, NAFTA, John Kerry eating Christmas dinner with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and you've heard my our buddy David call in, you know, and he says it's all wrestling.
Well, it is. It's really, that's exactly right. He's hit the nail on the head. That's what it is. And these guys, they've got a good thing going. I heard you and Jim discussing retirement benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this goes down to a lower level, too. I mean, state legislatures, I think most of your state legislators only have to serve one term.
That we got to check out. We got to check that one out.
I'm not really sure. Did you know?
That's got to change.
Well, let me throw another little thing at you. When you go to court and they assess you court costs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the court costs will actually exceed a fine. You know where those court costs go?
Regional jail authority?
No, they go into the judge's retirement fund. I'm serious about that.
Oh, I really want you to be wrong about that, Gary. I really, really want you to be wrong about that.
Well, I mean, do some checking. I mean, I'm sure it varies state by state, but I've been given this on pretty good authority. That's where it goes to. What it is, they've got a formula like where In your courtroom, like 40% goes to your individual retirement fund, 60% is pooled and then split up at the end of the year.
It's like when the bell, it's like when the busboy picks up the tip.
Darn it.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, we're out of here, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye now. And we are slap out of time. We got to do the top of the hour news, and we'll come back and go to your calls. We got one line open if you want to use it. And I promise, straight to the phones, and first time callers go first. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm baffled.
Head On.
News Talk 620 WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We will see mainly cloudy skies as we head into the evening hours. Slight possibility of a rain shower or a flurry in places. Temperatures are right around 30. A flurry or snow shower possible tonight and dropping into the upper 20s by dawn. High pressure begins to move in from the west on Friday. Skies turning partly cloudy, highs near 40, and a sunny Saturday with highs approaching 50. Clouds begin to increase Sunday, but our weather should stay dry to close out the weekend. Sunday's high 52. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, of course, just a reminder, the phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. And we do try to maintain a certain degree of solicitousness for first-time callers. And I think we've got one, Terry. Hey, Terry, you're Head On. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Well, I wanted to say that I heard the conversation about this. Your former caller, was it Jim?
Yes.
Said, like Steve was putting you down, but he was not at all. He just said some little something, you know, it was just a little funny thing. But he wasn't putting you down.
Okay, well, you know,
and I wanted you to know that.
Okay, well, you know, I take the position that an insult is like a drink. it affects one only if taken.
Yeah. But I my radio wouldn't know what to do if I put it on another station. I think it's on WWNR, you know, forever.
Well, good. You know, I think we need to start manufacturing AM radios that only have 620 on the dial.
Right, exactly right. But I enjoy all the talk shows.
Well, I'm so glad. Uh-huh. And I'm so glad to know you're there.
And so I'll let you go, but I wanted you to know he was not putting you down. He just said some little funny something.
Okay.
You know.
Well, that's fine, then.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. And you have a good evening.
You too.
And thanks again for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. And let's see. Paul. Hey, Paul, you're Head On.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
I saw the 30 pieces of Silver Kiss last night, too.
I haven't been able to keep a meal down since.
Me neither.
So, I mean, it happened, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't one of those nasty little flashbacks from the early 80s or something hitting me.
No. You saw it, and I did, too. And I want to straighten Jim up about something.
Okay.
The FERS program is a welfare program.
Okay.
See, they closed the civil service program in 84.
Correct.
And if you transferred out of the civil service over into the FERS, you went on the stock market. You started paying Social Security, Medicare. And Congress is not on the same retirement.
They're not.
Nope.
You're like rock ribbed, dead solid certain.
Yeah. Yes, because they had people on 60 Minutes, and it's been, I guess, a month or better ago. And no, you don't get the information out of there where their money's at. You remember the old house bank deal?
Oh yeah.
That ought to tell you
The hot check bank?
Yep. That ought to tell you a whole lot right there.
That says something.
Yeah. But see, the FERS program, 401ks, 125s are all welfare programs. You transferred your Social Security out on to your employer, and then you lease it back. And it's lease money. And when you go to cash out on these things, and it's called the ultra minimum tax under Section 56. It's right in the tax code.
Yeah, the alternative minimum tax was originally put out there to make sure that people who were otherwise going to dodge taxation had to pay some.
That's right.
Okay.
And Clinton signed that bill in 93. But they wanted their railroad, their highway money back at 4.3 cents on the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
He had. Well, when he got caught with Lewinsky, that's when they got it back. That was in the 97 Taxpayers Relief Act.
You know, that's another thing. You mentioned Monica there, Paul.
Right.
Did you see the point, you know, and I waited all through the speech to see when George was going to introduce his token pitiful Iraqi.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice when she stood up there next to Laura? Were you watching that?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't she look a hell of a lot like Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah, a whole lot. But she was a voter and holding up that finger. But is she a citizen in this country now, or was she a citizen in Iraq?
Well, see, we don't get to, we're not in that part of the shell game, Paul.
Now, that's what I like to know. And to see where she's living here in voting, or did she vote in Iraq and they flew her over here?
I got a feeling we footed the bill for that.
I think we did, too. And I'm just wondering, is she a citizen in this country now? But
makes your head spin sometimes, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Bob wants to bring on somebody else to go through this tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who he brings on, don't know. But there was a violation of the statute law in 1986, and nobody knows it. But I got it.
Well, if that's the case, Paul, one of these days, it's, you know, the chickens are going to come home to roost.
Yeah. When I come on your program, I'm going to show it to you.
Okay. Well, you know, Paul, that's one thing I noticed last night. How old is George Bush?
He's in his, I think, about 52, 54, somewhere along.
I think he's, let's see, he was class of 68 at Yale. That's 22 years old. Yeah, he's close to 60.
Yep.
Okay, so he's talking about stuff that's going to be going on 30 years from now, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to matter to him, is it?
The Social Security's not broke.
No.
It never has been.
But, you know, what I'm getting at, and you know, I'm cognizant of this, because when we were talking about what went on down in the legislature, we're talking about a 30-year boondoggle that's not going to be paid for until I am 72 years old.
That's right.
You know, I've almost come to the conclusion that we need some sort of constitutional amendment, but, you know, let it be on the state level, let it be on the federal level.
It's on the federal level.
We need some sort of constitutional amendment that says you cannot fool with money
that's
going to affect things that aren't in your lifetime.
It's already in the Constitution. The government is responsible for all pensions because they're holding the Pension Guaranty Corporation. It is now $23.3 billion in debt, but the honest truth is it's $84 billion in debt. And they spent all that money. And the old word reversion, nobody understands what that means. It's in the tax code.
I know what reversion means. And John Kepi tells me that George is 59 years old.
Oh, 59.
So he has no business talking about what's going to happen to a worker who's 22. Do you see the distinction that I'm making?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. And just like the plane he was flying, he was supposed to have been flying at F-102, that thing was going to the junkyard.
Yeah, it was.
It was already in the junkyard.
They taught, you mean when he went down to the Tang, the Texas Air National Guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, they taught him to fly the only jet that wasn't in use in Vietnam. I mean, what a shell game. What a miserable game of three-card Monte. What a penny pitching scheme outside the schoolhouse door.
You know what we were flying here? The old PV-2 boat.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Our National Guard.
Yeah, the flying boat.
Yeah, and you know what the Air National Guard of Kentucky was flying out of the Louisville airport?
No.
The old Caribbean B-57.
Oh,
okay. Boat bomb.
Well, you know, I know we sent F-6F Hellcats.
Yep.
To Vietnam.
To Vietnam for
those,
the Marines.
Yeah, those were the World War II
fighters.
Well, the beautiful, beautiful World War II fighter that flew off the flight deck of my father's aircraft carrier.
You got it, bud.
Came along about 1943, three or four different variations based on the gun configuration. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
As a little boy, I built a million F-6Fs.
Yeah, and we had a doctor here down in Mullins that flew off the aircraft carrier and flew that very fighter.
As did my uncle.
Uh-huh.
To this day, his license plate reads VF Ace.
VF Ace.
Yep.
You know, Bob, when we lose all of our old W-2 veterans, we've lost a treasure.
We absolutely have, Paul, and that's what I was talking about. I got a feeling you understood what I was getting at.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about, Bob. They fought a war, and they were gone all the time, and the things that they went through. And then come home, went to school under the G.I. Bill, and built this country.
Yes, sir.
I was raised up during World War II. I knew what it was. I remember the bombers flying out of Bowman Field in Kentucky.
And you've probably seen your fair share of ration books, haven't you, Paul?
Oh, have I? I still got.
I think somewhere in a jewelry box at home, we still got a few of those miserable little red pennies.
I remember first time we got bananas back in the company store. Brother didn't even get home with them. He said, I'm going to sit and eat them.
Bless his heart.
Going to beat him to death.
You know, this is a generation that knew the privations of the Depression, that knew the hard and bloody work of the Second World War, that literally with their own bare hands, and not the rich capitalist pigs, but their own bare hands built the America we knew, so that George Bush and miserable punk cronies like that can tear it apart and spit on it. God, Paul, it makes me crazy.
Yeah, and you know, when they were building Oak Ridge,
yeah.
Well, my daddy was constable. I remember used to picking up the letters at the post office, and they had to be verified him to cure the individuals that was going down there to work.
Yep.
Hey, you remember those aluminum tubes?
Yeah, the ones we got told about during the lies before the war?
Those tubes are not made out of aluminum, brother. They were made right here in West Virginia.
Really?
Yep. And those tubes, it can't be a spot of oil or grease anywhere.
No, they've got to be perfect.
And the inside of that tube spins at 50,000 RPMs per minute. One atom of U-235 and out of 140 of U-238. Now you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
40 stages. 4,000 of those things to bring the uranium up to bomb stage.
My God.
And the first ones we built, there was only 2,000 of them. They had to do a different method. You remember the silver shortage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those magnets were made out of silver that done the separation faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just pull those magnets out about.
You don't just run out and build a bomb.
No, you don't.
I mean, you can get the plans on the internet. Everybody knows that. But you know, getting the materials is a different thing. And yet, last night in the speech, Paul, in the speech, I heard him say, what was it? You know, we've got to develop clean energy sources.
And in nuclear, we haven't ordered a nuclear reactor since 1974.
Well, with awfully good reason, Paul, because. You know, he says clean. I didn't believe my ears. I hear him say, you know, we got to develop clean energy sources. I'm thinking biodiesel. Nah, yeah. He's not going to do that. And then I hear it, you know, like nuclear energy.
You know how much of the 27-inch rod with all those pellets in it? How much of that we use in the reactor?
How much?
2%.
You're kidding.
That's all.
Well, see, he mentions the things, Paul, the things that we are not allowed to know as American citizens. What, 2 weeks ago, and NBC didn't cover it, CBS didn't pick it up, ABC didn't pick it up, I don't think CNN, God knows Fox didn't pick it up, because they don't have any reporters in the field to begin with. They just sit around and blather in the studio.
Let me give you another.
Do you know, we had a near meltdown 2 weeks ago. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I sure did. We've had several other accidents you haven't heard about.
There was a near meltdown at the Fermi No. 2 in Michigan.
That's right.
Gushing like thousands of gallons of radioactive water per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Not a peep.
Well, when Reagan was in, he started up Savannah, and the H reactor, which is a production of tritium, blew its guts.
Well, see, I happened to grow up not too far from what was at the time the single largest nuclear reactor in America.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in, as a part of the TVA, and those geniuses, you know, you have to check for gas leaks. You've got certain safety protocols that you absolutely must maintain in a nuclear reactor. They were, I think, 2 minutes from an absolute, utter, you know, no two ways about it, you know, everybody glows in the dark meltdown, because they checked for gas leaks, Paul, with a candle.
With a candle. And let me give you another one. You remember when Chernobyl blew up?
Yep.
What was we testing that day? We was testing the automatic shutdown at our most secret little facility. What they done is they expanded the size of the rods, so when the pellets got hot, they expanded, and you didn't have a neutron capture the very same day.
There's a god of irony out there, Paul.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's just a few of the things, Bob. But we now have four gaseous fusion plants. Four of them. but I won't tell you the trigger for the bomb.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
Paul, thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
Bud, I'll tell you, what's going on today? Lion George? Oh, those 150 he was talking about?
Uh-huh.
Programs? Well, you have to read H.R. 1, which I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Those programs, majority of them are already in there. They're already been implemented.
Yeah, and we're gonna send the gang members in South Central L.A. to church.
And I've already got all of his tax code changes, and it's not going to be what he said. I've got every one of them.
Are we screwed, Paul?
Right down the road. It's we have to depend on the older generation that's got common sense and built this nation to turn his butt around.
Yeah, and it's time to do a little bit of teaching. It's time for the older generation. It's time for the greatest generation, 75, 80, 85, 90 years old, to stand up and explain to the 20-somethings that as an American, you don't just spit on the generation behind you.
That's right, and I got more respect for that generation than you'll ever dream of.
I know. I'm the same way.
Okay,
Paul, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Take care now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's take a little break and then come back and your calls. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. Great night, guys. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Would you rather have the flu than pay another dollar to your cable company? For less than what you're paying for cable, the DirecTV Total Choice with Local Channels package gets you access to over 125 channels for only $39.99 a month. Just listen to what your neighbors are saying. Excuse me, why did you choose DirecTV?
Simplicity, cost.
Because of how many channels it had.
With DirecTV, our picture clarity is just so much better than it was.
I am fed up with cable.
Act now and get up to a 4-room DirecTV system for free for all new customers with an annual programming commitment. And as always, your standard professional installation is included at $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. As an added bonus, when you get your DirecTV system from American Satellite, you qualify for a free gift. Proof of activation is required. So if you're sick of cable, call now and start saving with DirecTV. Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Call now.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I'm tired of getting pelted with snowballs every year, so I'm thinking about purchasing a snowblower.
I think a snowblower is a great idea. The choice of a blower should depend on the type of snow and how much you usually get. Snow throwers are ideal for light snow. These machines pick up snow and throw it to the side in a single action. For wet, heavy, and deep snow, you'll have better luck with a snow blower. Blowers pick up snow, and a large fan blows the snow up and out through a discharge chute.
Yay! No more snowballs!
Sounds like your machine's going to get a lot of use, Diane. To keep it in top condition, perform routine maintenance. And John Deere recommends running the snow blower for a few minutes after use to make sure the auger and impeller don't freeze.
Thanks for the tips, Bill. Tune in again for the next Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
No, you're not supposed to feel the change from day to day. No one knows if there's a tight turn for the way.
Welcome back. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock, and this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Like I said, good discussion this evening. Let's keep it rolling and talk to Yerachmiel. Hey, Yerachmiel, you're Head On.
Hello.
How are you?
Can you read me well?
It'd be better if you'd get on the hard line and not the speakerphone.
You get any better?
Yeah, that's some better.
Okay.
Yeah, much better.
No, good. I was just testing it. It's new for say. I heard that the Fuhrer deliver his address.
Oh, yeah.
And ironically, imagine the Weimar Republic broadcasting the Fuhrer's address to the nation, but here we have National Pervert Radio broadcasting the right wing here, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just thought it was very ironic because I don't know if anybody noticed. So far, I haven't heard anybody protest about this, but I got to say something about this George Wimpy Bush,
yeah,
whom I refer to as George Wimpy Yellow Liver Jelly Spine Chicken Weasel Bush.
Okay.
Okay. And if you want to know why I say that, I'm about to tell you exactly why.
Okay.
Mr. Morality. Okay, he won't flinch. As long as people are being bombed in Madrid, as long as Iraqi citizens, be they troops, the police, men, women, and children, are being killed, blown to smithereens, because they're trying to establish democracy, and he has the nerve to say that we brought the war to the terrorists. We brought the war to the innocent civilians of Iraq.
That's true.
And there are thousands, 3,000 got killed here, and minimum from 10 to 100,000 with all these different estimates. We're so bad, we don't even know how many of them are dying.
Well, you know, listen, Iraq, when it comes to the civilians, part of the reason that the Iraqi interim government started counting their civilian dead, which is where these numbers come from, part of the reason they started counting their civilian dead is simply because the British and the American departments of war refused to count. You know, and how sickening is that we can't even be bothered to count the dead babies?
Well, it's just as sickening as repeatedly George Bush has said, and he said it again now.
Interim government started counting their civilian dead, which is where these numbers come from. Part of the reason they started counting their civilian dead is simply because the British and the American departments of war refused to count. You know, and how sickening is that we can't even be bothered to count the dead babies?
Well, it's just as...
Highly trained paramedics and EMTs are among the best the state has to offer. We can provide medical transportation for almost any situation. When you're at your worst, General Ambulance is at its best. The dependable and professional service are the ones who really care. General Ambulance, we're there when you need us most. NBC Sports is brought to you by local Tennessee State Harbor Road. Come to the Google Bay Sleeping Yard Car Wash and the Shell Master Car, where you can save 5% on your gas and repurchase when you stop for the 9 cents per gallon. Call 1-877-NICE-YARD to buy your MasterCard and start saving today. Remember, the Shell MasterCard is saving the Harbor Road tab and at all Shell stations. Call toll-free 877-NICE-YARD to apply today. The ambulance service was established in 1970 in Oakland, and since then they have grown to where they service all of Southern West Virginia with a full range of medical transportation services. In addition, James here is actively involved in each community they serve, and that's why you'll find them offering their services free at festivals, ball games, and community gatherings. James here offers high quality, compassionate patient care and transportation, and will continue to work hard to meet the needs of this area. In Fayette County, call 469-4300, and in Raleigh County, call 255-1588. James here ambulance service is the one to call. Do you avoid laughing or eating in public because of poor fitting dentures? Are you embarrassed to smile because you're missing teeth? Dr. Gilbert, a board-certified oral gastrofacial surgeon, specializes in dental implants, a permanent, natural-looking solution to missing teeth. With dental implants, Dr. Gilbert
Yeah.
whatever the hell it is they're ranting about.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see that.
You know, if I used to live in communities where it was forbidden to have television. You know, very religious communities.
Yeah.
And it was very simple. You just don't have it. You don't complain. You know, everybody's complaining about what they see on television. They're very casuist. You know, they got this casuistry about what's licentious and what's decent. You know, and I mean, what's decent? What some people consider certain things to be ordinary to other people are outrageous.
No, well, sir. Listen. You know, the appearance of any one woman on American television is probably beyond licentious. It's scandalous, blasphemous, and heretical, depending on which Muslim sect you belong to.
Right.
And some Orthodox Jewish sects.
Right.
And frankly, some Christian sects.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, that's one of the troubles we rub up against in a free society. But we tolerate it because we value the freedom, right?
Well, not quite sure what we do anymore. But apparently we've got some Nazis here who decided, you know, who decided that certain people can't be Christian, that innocent people can't be labeled as innocent people, that all Muslims, because of their religion, are somehow Arabs, and all Arabs are somehow inherently evil.
Yeah, and see, that's, brother, you hit one Iraq mail that crawls all over me. You know, we're getting ready to go bomb the snot out of Iran.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's part of the reason that he needs to do the Brinks job on Social Security. He's got to have the money to do it. But the fact remains, you know, and what, 99% of America probably thinks, you know, Iran is, you know, more of them Arabs. You know, more of them Arabs. They're Persians. They don't even speak Arabic. They speak Farsi. They speak a language that has more, that has a closer kinship to English.
Well, racially, they're Indo-Iranian.
Yeah.
They're Aryan. Well, little do Americans know that the Sanskrit language is related to English.
Exactly. It's Indo-European.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to convince these people. You know, these people, they still think that I'm not Christian because I don't worship Santa Claus.
Listen, your Aunt Mill, it was last Saturday I opened my email account at home. And hollered for my lovely wife. I said, "Oh, honey, you got to see this one," because as it turned out, I had just been sending.
Where's the consolation in all this? The evil has taken over, and we're desperately trying to get the word out. The evil has taken over, and I just hope and pray that we can do. Remember, I called you months ago. I said, "I wish I could do more than talk about it. I wish I could be effective."
You are effective, your Aunt Mill. You are. There are people who hear you and go, "My God," you know, a handful more. Listen, you give me a handful of your Rock Mills and Waynes and Jims and Judys and Bo's and Chris and Gary and Paul. You give me five times that number of that kind of people, and we change West Virginia. We'll change America.
Well, we're going in the right direction, but, you know, we seem to be kind of pitiful at this point.
Well, the trick is not letting them play the dispersion game on us, and that's what they've done right now. They have ghettoized us. You know, look at we started this conversation out, you're right, talking about the media, right? And like I said, okay, you don't have a TV. Let me tell you, on TV, on the over-the-air broadcast channels, there is no dissent. It is not permitted. There is one lonely little television program on MSNBC, and that's Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and he'll get out there and try to dissent once in a while. And you know, the other day he entered into the morass of this SpongeBob debate and got something on the order of 2,600 hateful emails damning him to the eternal fires of perdition for it.
What can I look? There's a thing I learned. You know, I studied spirituality. The SpongeBob is only as important as you make it. I don't know what the hell it is. I don't care.
I know. Neither do the rest of us. What we're trying to do. I mean, but you know, when Hitler's marching down the street, do you ignore him and hope he goes away, or do you point to him and say, "There's a freak we got to deal with"? You know, it's not about the SpongeBob. It's about these sick, twisted, perverted, dirty-minded freaks
that are trying to teach other Americans to hate each other for no good reason. You've got to point them out. What do the scriptures say? In the exorcism sections, you cannot exorcise the devil unless you call him by name, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, they're the ones who need to be exorcised.
That's what I'm saying. We're trying to exorcise these Reverend Dobsons and these Falwells and these Robertsons and these Hins and these Tiltons and these Coral Snake Ministries. That's the exorcism we've got to do. We can't just ignore them and let them drink their strychnine and die, because you know what? They're not going to. So, the SpongeBob controversy, it's not a controversy to me. The controversy is the hate. The controversy is the intolerance. The controversy is these people who absolutely despise a constitutional form of government and who believe that, we'll be okay if we just believe the way they do. But other than that, we're going to hell.
Well, it seems to me that they go out of their way to look for evil to fight against. They buy copies of Harry Potter, They buy copies of Harry Potter, which to me is an irrelevant joke, to burn them.
You're right.
The Bible says when they converted to Christianity, in the book of Acts, that they burned books of curious arts. And of course, these were people who had books about magic from their pagan traditions.
Or maybe the Kabbalah.
Well, they didn't have to come. Actually,
that didn't come along yet. You're right.
But even if, the Kabbalah has some of that magic stuff. Yeah, I know what you mean. But the point is, they didn't buy the books to burn them. They just were changing, going through a transition from the paganism, to monotheism. And Christianity in those days was monotheistic until the Nicene Council, decided that it wasn't.
Right.
But, the point is, these people actually went out and bought pothead books in order to burn them.
And, nobody's ever accused these people of being very smart, Yaron Hill. I mean, they went out and bought Beatles albums to burn them. They went out and bought Elvis Presley records to burn them. And then, the ultimate irony, they start their fires, they've got the fire going, and they dance around in the circle like a bunch of little druids.
Right.
Worshipping the fire like a gang of Zoroastrians.
But in other words, they're fighting the evil which they have in themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole thing
is. But make no mistake, this is not the same crowd as George W. Pig-Eyed Killer, okay? They're two separate crowds. But the Pig-Eyed Killers want to use these ignorant fools we've got one caller to this program, Paul, who has referred to them as cannon fodder for the culture wars.
Right. But what do I have to do if I prostrate 3 times a day before God and I say the Lord's Prayer? If I do the Eucharist every day, if I see a bird in the gutter that's not well and I put it under a tree so it wouldn't get hurt, what do I have to do? Do I have to get burnt in a fire 1,000 times? What do I have to do that people shouldn't think that I'm an Arab? You follow what I'm saying?
You're not responsible. Listen, you're not responsible for their stupidity. I mean, these are a bunch of damn fools, and I mean damned in the purest biblical sense.
But aren't they, aren't they just being, deceitful?
Yes, they're deceitful. They're deceitful insofar as they are passing their deceit onward, okay? If you want, all this the evangelical, evangelo-fascism, okay, for want of a better term, it all starts with an English minister whose name, I believe, was Darby in the 19th century. He was a huckster and a charlatan, and he cranked up all of this rapturous garbage for his own enrichment and for the control of a bunch of weak-minded boobies that were willing to follow him.
You mean like Peter the Hermit and George Chicken Weasel Bush?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what George Bush said? He said about homosexuality, I just want to remind everyone that we're all sinners. So he doesn't want to oppose homosexuality, but he wants to oppose gay marriage. I don't understand,
Let me make it clear for you, Yaron Hill. It's a great point you bring up. He says it's okay to be gay, but gay marriage is wrong. Okay, you have to, again, we are so far, we are, our side, Yaron Hill, is so far behind the curve, we think we're on straight road. Honest to God, I promise you. But what's going on? This man never speaks that he's not speaking in code, okay? And the code there, for those who have their translators on, is, listen, I hate the queers as much as my fundamental brethren do, okay? But what it comes down to is we're stuck with them. But what we've really got to do is make sure that they don't get married, because if they get married, then, and, you know, always remember, you know, when you're talking about a Republican, your Ockmill, it comes back to the money, all right? If we let the queers get married, there's money involved. If a queer gets married and one homosexual spouse dies, ooh, look, they get dependent benefits from Social Security. And they're already busy telling us that Social Security is communism and Leninism and Maoism and Satanism and going to take us all to hell in a handcar. You see, it's always about the money. So the gay marriage thing is a money issue, not a gay thing.
It may very well be the case, but what I'm saying is, morally, okay, Michael Savage is the same thing. He rails against homosexuality like Larry and Diatribe style.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody calls him up and says, well, you know, you have the right, it's not for me to say. You see what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Sean Hannity talks about God and morality and values. Bang, boom, kazoom, big, mighty Sean Hannity. The next thing you know, homosexual calls him up and says, well, you know, you have the right. You know, so, well, if they have the right to be a homosexual, then what's the point in railing against them? You know, if you have the right to do something, say you have the right. I don't understand.
Again, because they speak evil little hypocrites.
Because they want maybe a few more votes or something. I don't know.
Money.
They want money.
Money.
How does George Bush get money for saying that homosexuality is...
George Bush doesn't get money. George Bush preserved the Social Security Fund, or another chunk of it, in order to raid it and steal it, pass it out to his Wall Street cronies, and start himself a nice little war in either Syria or Iran.
All right, but what does he get by, you know, to some extent acquiescing to homosexuality itself?
Well, you've got to remember, the Republican Party has a substantial number of gay people in it. They call themselves log cabin Republicans. God knows they're fools. Not because they're gay, but because they're Republicans.
Right. Well, I think if they're gay,
they have to be placated. You know, they have to be placated. You know, I again, welcome to the big tent, you're on. You know, I differ with you on that. I don't think gay people are sick.
I'll put it this way. I don't hate gays, but there's a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but maybe the problem's in you.
No, the problem's not in me. It's just there's no problem's not in me because if you say, for example, somebody is not well in some way, and you're sure about it.
Yeah, somebody's got the flu.
Oh, some people have a psychosocial flu.
Well, you know, the science hasn't answered that question yet.
Well, you know, imagine
it's trying to. I mean, there's a brand new study out that indicates that there is a definite genetic link to homosexuality. Now, if that person's a defective human being, you know, that's your worldview. But if that person is just, that's the way God made them, you know, if you look
well,
at
I can't conclude on this. Every other day there's a scientific study.
No, that's true too. You know, and remember, they're trying to genetically breed a red heifer in somewhere in Israel.
We'll worry about that.
Listen, you're on me. I appreciate it. Great conversation. Thank you so much.
Night.
Have a good night. All right, more of your calls when we come back. Let's see. Stick around. A couple of lines open, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And I think we got the stream back up. We had a little trouble there for a minute, but I think it's back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We will see mainly cloudy skies as we head into the evening hours. Slight possibility of a rain shower or a flurry in places. Temperatures are right around 30. A flurry or snow shower possible tonight and dropping into the upper 20s by dawn. High pressure begins to move in from the west on Friday. Skies turning partly cloudy, highs near 40. And a sunny Saturday with highs approaching 50. Clouds begin to increase Sunday, but our weather should stay dry to close out the weekend. Sunday's high 52. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Another little reminder for you. If you miss part of the program, assuming that, you know, because this all happens with the stream, we have a little trouble. But the show is archived at whiterosesociety.org, and you can pick it up, listen to it anytime, day or night, assuming that we get the stream to them. I'm really tickled that Ben Birch down there is out there is helping along those lines. It's wonderful. The number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We're sort of stacked up right now, but if you want to get in line, do feel free. Let's chat with Chris. Hey, Chris, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob. Bob?
Yeah.
Hey. If you can handle it, I think I can explain the purple finger.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do this without getting me in any FCC trouble, right?
Yeah. Do you ever watch CSI?
I have from time to time.
Okay. When they test for blood on that little Q-tip,
right,
little liquid on there, what color does it turn when it turns positive for blood?
Purple, right?
Purple.
Yeah.
They dip their finger in blood to vote.
Yuck. You know, there's just so many not nice things about this whole election scam in Iraq.
And I keep bringing them up.
Yeah, you're such a help. Well, you know, look, the Christians, was that your doing too?
You're blaming me.
No, the Christians that got disenfranchised in Nineveh. You know,
no.
Okay, well, again, you know, again, the God of irony is on the march.
Yeah.
You know, there it is, Nineveh. What? Jonah was sent to Nineveh, right?
Yeah.
And there have been Christians in Nineveh from time immemorial, and they got the Ohio treatment.
Yeah.
Their poll didn't open.
Allen Ginsberg wrote in his poem, "A Supermarket in California," "Will we stroll dreaming of the lost America of love past blue automobiles and driveways, home to our silent cottage?"
Yeah.
That makes me think of this. And William Carlos Williams famously wrote in the introduction to Allen Ginsberg's Hell, "Hold back the edges of your gowns, ladies, we are going through hell." It reminds me of this administration. I didn't watch the speech last night. I knew that right afterwards they would have it, where you could read it.
Yeah.
And I read it. I just couldn't bear to watch it. What is going to be even, it just makes me sick to watch, but what is going to be even worse and really make your skin crawl?
Like it's not already?
Worse is when these guys get on the lecture circuit.
Ew.
And get paid thousands and ten thousands of dollars to speak.
Well, you know, my only hope is that when he's done being president, George W. Bush can be like his daddy and go puke on the Japanese prime minister.
There is a picture on the Drudge Report right now. It just came up about an hour ago. In an interview, Rumsfeld said several times he has offered to resign, and Bush has wanted him to stay on.
Well, that's inspiring.
Well, that's just spin, isn't it?
Oh, and of course, the article you sent to me and a couple other people did as well. This Marine general we've got now?
Oh, man.
I mean, this guy makes Patton look sane. Oh, there he is. What's his name? Let's tell the world his name, Chris.
Oh, I can't remember.
Lieutenant General James Mattis.
Yeah. And on CNN tonight, on the Lou Dobbs show. Lou Dobbs said point blank he thought it was, you can't get mad at him. This is what,
this is what we
basically agreed with him.
Yeah, this is what we've brainwashed him to think for 30 years?
No. He said, basically, you can't get mad at him for saying those comments, and that's what you need out of a general, and all blah, blah, blah. And he had this former general on, and he talked to him, and boy, they just talked about how great he was, and all that stuff.
Well, and just to clear this up for anybody who didn't catch it, Chris, this Lieutenant General James Mattis, I assume he's a Marine, he was meeting with about 200 people gathered in at the San Diego Convention Center, and among other things that he said, oh, that was a grammatical nightmare.
Yeah.
He said, it is, quote, fun to shoot some people, unquote.
I like a brawl.
Yeah, that was another one. You know, it's a hell of a hoot. I like brawling. Now, I mean, I understand. This is the military. It would be unreasonable to expect them to sit around making daisy chains and singing Kumbaya.
Whenever I hear comments like that, I think of Michael Moore and Fahrenheit 9/11 going up to members of Congress and handing them
the enlistment
all this information
form,
about how their children can join up.
Right.
Just tell them, send your kids over to die in Iraq. Come on.
Yeah, you go into Afghanistan. Well, no, you know who I thought of when I saw these comments from General Mattis. The George, and again, played Patton too. The George C. Scott character in Dr. Strangelove, General Buck Turgidson.
They're gonna come in here. They're gonna see the big board.
Yeah, that commie's gonna see the big board, and he's gonna see everything. But no, when they finally ask him, General. Could a plane that's been damaged actually make it to the target?
Well, you got to understand, if you got a good pilot, you know, he can take that baby in low and he starts sticking his arms out and flying. You know, George Scott's flying crazier than a spray. And he takes that thing and can he hit the target? Of course he can hit the. Oh, no.
Boy, to this day, I still would love to know whether him falling down was scripted or not. I thought that was pure cinema verite, if it wasn't.
Oh, that was just
a brilliant idea when he fell. He just got so caught up in bloodthirsty and all over, he just fell. Yeah.
Mr. President, we cannot have a mine shaft gap.
I noticed that AMC here lately, every once in a while, was showing Failsafe, the original.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
We had a little low-grade film festival one evening many years ago. A bunch of friends got together, got a little beer, whatever, and we ran Failsafe and Dr. Strangelove back to back.
Oh man!
With an encore, with a denouement of On the Beach. Yeah, it was a great evening. Well, you know, but I've said it before. You know, I used to watch Dr. Strangelove and laugh my rear end off. Just laughed off.
Yeah,
God,
yeah.
It was the funniest thing I'd ever. It ain't funny anymore, Chris.
No, it's not. Do you remember when that point came? You realized that it wasn't funny anymore?
Yeah, January the 20th, 2001.
Scared the crap out of you, didn't it?
Still scared.
Yeah. I mean, people, I just don't understand. I remember a very young age when I was old enough, I was 9 or 10 years old, my uncle told me about some of the stuff that happened in Vietnam. And then we got, you know, where we get together, we talk about stuff. I remember at a very young age, watching a lot of the war pictures that have been on television, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just, in the MASH episode, the interview where the announcer, I can't remember his name, he's a famous announcer, interviewing Alan Alda's character, Hawkeye, he said, I imagine you've read a lot of Hemingway. He said, well, you know, I used to love to read Hemingway because he wrote so well. But now that I'm here, I can't understand why anyone would willingly go to a war.
Yeah. And, of course, the great phrase from the 60s, you know, what if they gave a war and nobody came? But
I've got another version of that I'll email to you.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate it. We got to take a break, man.
Take care, Bob.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. Let's see. A quick break and then more of your calls. We're kind of stacked up here. And I mean, just march right through. You know, me and General Madison.
Fun to shoot some people.
Well, we'll just have to take your word for that, General. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bullseye Bob Kincaid. Delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-641-0928. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver offer ends February 28, 2005. Call now.
Most of the time, the pain experienced by severe burn patients while they are healing is adequately controlled by medication. But during wound care, the majority of patients report being in excruciating pain. Speaking at a symposium sponsored by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, Dr. Hunter Hoffman of the University of Washington in Seattle says virtual reality distraction may be one way to further reduce the pain. He adds that the more realistic the virtual reality world, the greater the benefit.
We did an experiment where we had one virtual world that was as good as we could get it, and we had another virtual world that was as bad as we could get it. High-tech VR was much more effective, significantly more effective than low-tech VR for reducing pain, and there was a correlation between how much presence people reported and how much pain reduction.
Dr. Hoffman says preliminary results from brain scans of patients undergoing MRIs also show dramatic reduction in pain-related brain activity during virtual reality. This is Calvin Jackson, the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock. See, that didn't hurt at all. Straight back to the phones. Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're Head On.
Hey. Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. I can't hear you. You know, I don't know. The stream went down or...
No, it's back.
Huh?
It's back.
Oh, the stream's back?
Yeah, it's been back for, you know, a good 30 minutes.
Oh, well, how come I don't know that?
You know,
I
guess,
gave up. Man.
Yeah, I ditched on the telepathy, I guess.
Okay. Well, actually, what I wanted to say was, you know, seeing that I... Well, now I'm all confused, Bob.
Well, I understand.
You got me all messed up.
I live that way.
I mean, I was going to start out with, is this Radio Free Beckley?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. And whatever, you know, we got to get this stream thing straightened out.
It would be nice.
Yeah. But you know it does that, don't you?
Yeah. It's green and it folds.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, and that's always been my solution. A lot of people don't believe me, but
well, you
throw money at it.
Well, you know how I
got
feel.
Got a problem?
Yeah, you know how I feel about it. The only people you ever hear saying that money can't buy you happiness are either the people who don't have any of it, or the people who have it and don't want you to have any of theirs.
Right. Exactly. But, like I say, I'm all messed up now. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's been happening. I don't know what people's talking about, but...
No, you know, you probably heard a little bit of Chris's conversation.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't hear it on hold anymore, can you?
No.
Yeah, it's tough. In the general flow of what we've been doing all night long, you know, George Bush putting the wood to America, you know,
and Chris is on our, oh, okay, which Chris? Chris from Manus?
The Mantle report, Chris.
Okay. Different.
The Mantle.
There's more than one.
Yeah, the Mantle report at AOL.com.
Very good. We ought to keep plugging that.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah, it's M-A-N-S-E-L, no two L's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is, what amazes me about that whole thing is, it's the same, I don't understand why people can't relate this to the war in Iraq, you know. The first thing is to create a crisis that doesn't exist.
Right.
If anybody objects to that, you call them...
Un-American.
Un-American. And unpatriotic. And what do they want, you know?
Yeah. They hate America.
Exactly. They hate America. And, if people fall for this again, I don't know what to tell them.
Well, they deserve what they get, but if they fall for it again, I don't deserve what I get.
And
for their stupidity.
See, you can't separate the two. You know what I mean?
I know. You can
separate the two, but if they fall for it, you don't get what you deserve.
Yeah, I don't get what I've already put into the system, because I was smart enough not to fall for it.
Right.
It's like, and that's what they're counting on, Wayne. It's what they're counting on. You know,
yes.
they got a bunch of morons out there playing three-card money with my money.
Right. And you got, and what's the matter with these guys named Joe? Huh?
I know.
I don't know. Should I exclude our new governor?
Yeah.
Okay. For a couple of weeks here. I mean, I'll give him a break.
We're still in the slack cutting business.
Yeah, right. Okay. The Joe Biden.
And
the Joe Kiss Me Real Good Lieberman.
Kiss Me Quick Joe Lieberman.
Right.
Oh!
Kiss Me Quick before the people that think I'm really a Democrat see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, there's a couple of guys we don't need anymore.
Yeah.
Earlier when I was hearing you, I think you were talking to, I forget who, but, like I said before, I don't have time to create a third party. I've got to, try to fix the one we got here.
Yeah, that was me and Gary.
Right. Okay. If, I'm willing to lose as long as I'm losing with the people that are on my side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense.
I think I understand what you're saying, Wayne. You don't want to lose with daggers in your back.
Exactly. I don't want to lose with a bunch of traitors that I thought were on my side.
Yeah.
You know. And,
we're marching forward. Hey, guys, where'd you go?
Right. And Lieberman's not on our side. Lieberman's not a Democrat.
Lieberman is a large part of why Al Gore only got 51% of the vote to George Bush's 49 or whatever it was.
Yes.
You know,
and
Al Gore had a chance in the South. I mean, John Kerry never did. Al Gore had a chance in the South. But,
he did.
Yeah, you got to deal with the racism of the South. And this is not good old racist Bob. I'm not.
No, but reality's reality.
Yeah.
You know.
And, maybe he was good for Florida, but he's not, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, and not so much.
Right, and do you ever see, because you work a different shift, there's a guy on in the morning, Imus.
Oh, yeah.
I heard something the other day that, do you know who Kiki Freeman is?
Oh, I've read a million of his books.
He's going to run for governor in Texas?
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good, too, but how much of a shot do you think he's got?
It's Texas, man. I mean, what did Orrin Hatch call Texas yesterday? Nowhere?
I mean, Kinky Freeman's not a Pollock, is he?
No.
I don't know. Is that racist? I don't know.
Oh, well, there we go again.
It's so hard to figure, I want to be correct,
Right.
I mean, I like everybody.
Sure.
So, anyway, just called to, actually, I'm confused.
Well,
I haven't been listening.
Take a breath. Take a breath. It's okay.
Okay.
Now, did you see, you got me doing it. The Marine generals, the Marine Lieutenant General saying it's fun to kill people?
If they beat up women, yeah.
Yeah, you go into Afghanistan, you got guys who slap women around for 5 years because they didn't wear a veil.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood.
Yeah, they're fun to shoot.
Good to see the Naval Academy's got that grammar class up and running. You know, guys like them ain't got no manhood left anyway, so it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot.
God. Do people listen to stuff like that?
I don't know. Yeah, you got to wonder, was he standing there with the M16 in his hand going, pull! Yeah, bam! Yeah.
I think I saw part of him on an interview with, you know, one of the television stations or something. I couldn't really figure it out, and then I went out to the internet and saw what the guy was talking about. That's sad.
Well, and
sad
and I'm sure you've seen this. It happened right before I went on the air. The Senate of the United States has stood up for torture.
Yes, yes, they have.
Yeah, we've let's see, how many?
Gonzalez voted against them.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, so that means there's, nine collaborators in the Senate?
At least. And where are we, 45?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, nine. That would be nine.
Yeah, I'm sure that we know that sell-out so-called Democrat Salazar from Colorado, we know that he voted for him.
Where was Feinstein?
Don't know. I don't have a list. I'd like it if somebody could email me the list.
She's scaring me.
Really?
Well, on the Social Security thing.
Oh, brother.
I'm wondering where she's going to be. You know, Barbara Boxer, we know.
Right. Now, her we can trust.
Right. The only Democrat with gonads is a woman.
Yeah, pitiful.
Yeah. I'm proud of her.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Senator Byrd voted against the torture, voted against Gonzalez.
Well, there's a good man.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know, Senator Byrd, he used to vote. You know what's amazing?
What?
We can no longer forgive anybody.
Oh, no.
Never.
Well, not if you're a Democrat.
Exactly. Not if you're a Democrat.
I mean, you got Strom Thurmond, who is busy turning on a spit being basted in hell.
Didn't he
raped the maid.
Right.
It's not like they had this happy little dating relationship in 1927 in South Carolina, him and the black maid.
You know, it wasn't a secret love.
Well, it was a love that dare not speak its name, that's for damn sure, but no, it was
well,
right.
Well, that all depends on your definition of love, I guess, too, but, yeah. But we can forgive him, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's forgiven.
And, but anybody
with Maddox, forgiven. George Wallace, forgiven.
Yes.
As long as there's some sort of weirdo, twisted, sick, right-wing freak, they're up for forgiveness.
Right.
But, you know, Senator Burke, you know, he voted against Gonzalez because he was in the Klan.
Yes, he was. Yeah. That's why he questioned Condoleezza Rice, because he was in the Klan. And Ted Kennedy.
Yeah,
he purposely set out to drown that woman.
Ted Kennedy voted against Gonzalez because he's anti-Catholic.
Right. Oh, God.
Oh, you know, Chris mentioned a couple of nights ago that I got to stop referring to going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
From now on, we're going down the snake hole.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, we are. You know, we just the United States Senate just authorized torture.
Yes, they did. That's exactly what they did. And not in my
I mean, can we change the national anthem now from the Star Spangled Banner to "You Only Hurt the Ones You Love"?
Yeah, that'd be a good move.
These people are making me crazy, Wayne.
Me too, Bob. And I hope you know. I think that if the Democrats stick together and we get a couple of Republicans, which is the way it stands right now, we could beat this Social Security thing.
You know?
But we have so many. That's why I asked you about Feinstein. And, you know, where's Biden going to be? You know, where's Kiss Me Again?
Joe Manum.
Joe from Connecticut. Connecticut Joe. Where are they going to be? You know.
Con Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Con. Joke. Well, there's a one-liner in here somewhere, Wayne.
Somewhere there is.
Oh, they're all one-liners. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne. We got
all right.
A break, man.
All right, buddy. I'm glad it's back upstream.
Me too. You
okay.
Have no idea.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy. Okay, this is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. It's time for a break. Man, I need one. Break? I need something else. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The National Park Service says it will fight a proposal by a private company to construct an upscale housing development along the New River Gorge near Fayetteville. Land Resource Management wants 4,300 acres of land overlooking the gorge to be rezoned from rural residential and land conservation to planned unit development. The land lies between the boundaries of the Park Service. It had wanted to buy the property, but federal funding was not immediately freed up to close the deal. New River Gorge National River Superintendent Cal Height says the development could be visible from several popular overlooks from the east side of the gorge and could have a negative impact on sightseeing by tourists. He also is concerned about the effect the development would have on plant life in the gorge. Fayette County Planning Commission will consider Land Resource Company's application on February 22nd. Police are investigating the death of a man whose body was found Wednesday in Pineville. A passerby on Bank Street discovered the body behind Cook's Lumber and Supply just after noon. The victim's identity has not been released pending notification of relatives. Police say no foul play was involved. An autopsy, though, will be performed to determine the cause of death. More allegations of sexual misconduct have surfaced against a Boone County minister. A January grand jury indicted Daniel Eric Perdue on 22 counts involving one child. The indictment includes one count of attempted first-degree sexual abuse, 11 counts of sexual abuse by a parent, guardian, or custodian, and 10 counts of third-degree sexual assault. Perdue pleaded innocent to the charges today. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy and chilly, still a chance of a lingering snow shower or light rain shower. Then tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 26 for tomorrow. Becoming sunny by afternoon, we begin to warm up tomorrow. Upper 30s for Friday, and then by Saturday and Sunday, we will be partly cloudy with a high both days near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
This is America on the Road. Mitsubishi's newest sport utility vehicle is called the Endeavor. It's based on the new Galant chassis, and we'll be right back with a full report, so stay tuned.
The key to business success in today's information economy lies in a company's ability to manage and protect its most valuable asset, information. In a very real sense, a company is its information. Vital data exists within all departments of an enterprise: customer relations, personnel, sales, marketing, finance, and beyond. And like any valued corporate asset, this information requires protection. For the prudent IT executive, protecting the entire infrastructure and the information that resides in it goes beyond preventing virus attacks and network intrusions. A company must secure the organization and keep it up and running. Today's businesses keep information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for your enterprise, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jack Murad. The new Mitsubishi Endeavor is a mid-sized sport utility vehicle based on their new Galant platform. It's available as a front drive or all-wheel driver and delivers a smooth car-like ride. There's no low-range transfer case as the Endeavor is not designed for severe off-road driving. The only driveline available is a 3.8-liter V6 engine hooked up to a 4-speed automatic transmission with manumatic controls. This combination provides good performance and reasonable fuel economy of 19 miles per gallon in the city and 27 miles per gallon on the highway. The engine does require premium fuel.
This is Mike Hansen. The styling of the new Mitsubishi Endeavor features a massive front-end fascia with high-boxed fender flares covering the 17-inch wheel and tire package. The effect is that it looks bigger and more massive than it really is. The driving dynamics are good, but there's a little trace of torque steer with the front-wheel drive unit. ABS is standard on the four-wheel drive and top-of-the-line front-wheel drive models. The instruments are easy to read, and the controls are easy to operate and easy to see. So on our scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, the new $25,000 to $33,000 Mitsubishi Endeavor rates a 4.
And we'll have more next time right here on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. Not so bad out there. It's not very cold. I hope it's not slippery. Got to go home soon. Just 24 minutes left in this Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Man, a lot of fun tonight. Let's see. Straight to the phones. Jack. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Yeah, Bob. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm very bad about this telephone business.
I'm
not used to it, and I enjoy your callers, and I enjoy you and Dr. Bill. I enjoy y'all.
Thank you.
But I think y'all are trying to get it together, and you're doing your best, and you're doing a good job. I think you are.
Appreciate it.
And other people can say what they want, but I know where you're coming from. But I want to understand this Social Security about the president, with them young boys getting killed over, they got families also.
Yeah.
So what are they going to get out of this?
Oh, that's $1 million question, Jack.
Well, another $1 million question is the miners that get killed. And another $1 million question is the miners down there that had everything going for them, worked for years, and worked their guts out trying to and bring up, this is what West Virginia's made of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And see, that's the point. That's what makes it so clear that George Bush is just a dirty little, you know, just a cheap little low-rent, two-bit thief.
Yeah.
And because, you see, if he's, you, I mean, listen, you're a solid-thinking guy, Jack. If he tells you that the people who are 55 and over, that their Social Security is rock solid, right? That's what he said last night.
I heard that.
Okay. Well, you know, he acts like that's the only class of people that are drawing Social Security.
Those are the wealthy people, Bob.
Well, but wait, Jack.
They don't have to worry about this world. They got grandchildren and children. They don't worry. But we do.
Yeah. Well, there's another class of people that are drawing Social Security right now.
Oh, yeah, I said this.
What about the blind people? What about the little kids drawing dependent benefits?
Bob, I'm going to get one thing straight. I said they some deadbeats. I don't mean minors.
I know.
I mean they is some people that don't want to do nothing, but that's a very few, but they can straighten that out.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is there are people who are drawing Social Security right now, and George Bush didn't say that their Social Security is rock solid.
Right.
But it has to be if the people who are drawing now, if their Social Security is rock solid, those people's Social Security has to be rock solid. He's a liar. He is a dirty, lying, rotten, little, two-bit, penny-ante-punk thief.
Bob, that's the way it's got to be, because I'm going to tell you something. This is not America, and this is not West Virginia. West Virginians got out there and worked their backs and butts off, and they did their thing.
Yeah.
Don't come down on this state.
No.
They so many other states, and I'm going to tell you, with drugs going around, and you said they get them from the pharmacy, oh, no. And I'll tell you, there's a harbor for it.
Well, look.
That can be straightened out.
I opened my Charleston paper this morning, and the above-the-fold story is some drug rep in a school in what, Putnam County? Was wandering around giving drug discount cards for a drug called Adderall. It's speed, Jack, and it's used for hyperactivity. And she was just passing these drug discount cards out to every kid who walked past her.
Wasn't that even in a school?
Yes, sir, it was in a school. I mean, you know, what, Jack, if we caught some kid selling marijuana outside of Woodrow Wilson, we'd put him under the damn prison. But you know what? As long as it's a corporate drug dealer, they can stand in the building and give it away.
Well, I got you right on that, and I'm going to tell you something. You got young kids coming up. Mine's gone. I'm 70 years old, and I want to ask you about this, too. I know there's drugs going on, and I know I see people that are blind. They're not going to do a damn thing about it.
No, sir.
But I'm going to tell you straight off. I don't have no little kids, but you do.
I'm scared to death, Jack.
But I'm going to tell you to lay down on it.
I'm scared to death.
And you're going to wake it up, because there's a harbor right in... I'm not going to call the city, but it's right damn near you.
Oh, brother.
And I'm going to tell you, better wake up to it, because that's what's coming out. I'm so glad I heard from Charleston. They're cracking down on it.
Good.
There's a harbor in this state, And I don't know how far you are from. You're very close. But I'm going to tell you something, Bob. It's going on. And I care about you, and I care about the president. But I'm worried about these soldiers when he talks about Social Security. And them kids over are dying at 22, 30 years old. It's got families.
Yep.
And he's talking about Social Security, what they can put back. That's what their kids are going to get. What the hell are they going to have?
Not a damn thing.
Excuse my word.
No, you're right, Jack, and I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Take care. Yeah, not a blessed thing. Yeah, what a ripoff. Hey, we haven't heard from Kyle in a while. Hey, Kyle. You head on. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Enjoyed the speech last night.
I'm glad somebody did.
Oh, yeah, that was great, man. And this guy, that's he's not been a great, his strong forte was not public speaking. But
no, it's murder.
I'm sorry?
It's murder. That's his forte.
Oh, come on, Bob. Don't go there with me, you know? I mean, the Gatorade is out tonight. But at any rate, I was impressed. I was very pleased. I was very proud of him. I thought he did a super job. And you know, it was out there.
Oh, it was out there. I mean, it was out past Pluto. That was the most bizarre. That was the most bizarre speech I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know,
Laura's gonna take the gang members from South Central to church. I mean, wow.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's got to be, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm sure. Adam's apple, Annie Coulter, was out there somewhere saying, "Oh, he was presidential. He was almost like Churchill."
Come on, Bob. Even Dr. O'Brien gave him a break today, and. Dr. O'Brien was very complimentary.
Look, I don't give murderers breaks.
He's not a murderer, Bob.
Well, you call 100,000 dead women and children who weren't involved in the conflict. Come on, Kyle. They're dead. They died for Iraqi freedom. No, they died because we dropped a 500-pound bomb on their mud hut. Oi!
Come on, Bob. Keep up the rhetoric. We love it.
It's not rhetoric. It's a fact. The fact that you don't want to deal with it doesn't make me giving out the facts rhetoric. This guy is a killer. He is a bloodthirsty murderer. He has already, in 2 short years, killed more people than Saddam Hussein killed in his entire dirty reign.
I deal with it every day of my life. I'm very pleased. I'm very proud. I'm very happy. I heard it today. Somebody said about the Critchfield program this morning. When I lose them, I think this guy is going to come in history. In a near future, in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, you're looking 15, 20 years down the road, I think he's going to go down as one of the 5 best presidents we've ever had in this nation.
Well, you know, they tried to say that about Ronnie Reagan, too, but the fact of the matter is, in about 30 years, little children, when someone mentions the name of George W. Bush, little children will hock up a big loogie and spit it on the ground. That's George Bush's legacy. He's anti-American, he's un-American, he's unpatriotic, he's a coward, he's a loser, he's a dirtbag, he's human walking filth. You know, I'm sorry, I mean, I'm holding back. God, I despise the man.
You're holding back?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say what I really think. It'd pull me off the air. I'd be using words that I'd hate for my sainted mother, God rest her soul, to even know that I know. But I got people backed up, Kyle. Good to hear from you, man. Take care. Let's see. Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
I'm disappointed. Doesn't look like I got the funding to my Mars mission I was looking for.
Yeah, where was that?
That's everybody. And I thought of that all by myself, too. I didn't get that off Air America. I didn't get that off Annette. I was waiting for the Mars mission money. But
I guess they couldn't find him a flight suit.
Well, I don't think anybody was into that, including him.
But there is a legitimate question out of all that, Jeff, and I'm glad you raised it. He's raised to a sort of a board game, hasn't he? It's not Where's Waldo anymore. It's Where's Osama. He certainly wasn't any.
There was a while we were seriously talking about going to Mars. Remember?
Yeah, I do. I do.
We're not going to Mars. Anything.
No, we're not going to Mars. We're not.
How many?
We're going to Iran, man.
That drinking game, how it was like you do this if every time he says freedom and that,
yeah.
Every time it, what was you supposed to do every time the word asbestos was said?
You know, I think they missed the asbestos there.
I'm screaming stuff up.
Yeah. You hear asbestos and you hock up a lung.
How come y'all cut Savage's commentary off of it?
Because we weren't carrying it for Savage's commentary. It was about, you got to understand, Jeff. It was about muzzling Bob.
What?
Yeah, it was about muzzling Bob.
Why?
We had to run George W. Grim Reaper all by himself with no commentary.
Well, the radio paid for that, Savage. Pays for that program.
Huh?
Doesn't WWNR pay for the rights to broadcast Michael?
God, if we pay for Michael Savage, somebody saw us coming.
Well, they don't pay y'all, do they?
I'm not sure of the arrangement.
Pays somebody.
But the fact of the matter is, Savage runs from 10 to 1 or whatever. But apparently a memo was, just so you can know, a memo was sent down that said, Savage will be carrying the State of the Union address in its entirety and without commentary. Is that the way you understand it, John? And, we fire it up, and there's that prattling racist idiot.
Well, there's Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
She thinks everybody's laughing at her and smiling, and she thinks she's the president.
Yeah, she thinks, red diaper dope a baby. And there he is running his filthy yap. So we found another source to carry the speech because, if we're not going to let Bob talk through George's speech, darn sure not going to let that filthy racist, genocidal pig, wiener talk through it either.
Savage is strong pro-American, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to when Bush was leaving last night. Never guess who I saw shake his hand and give him a big old back slap?
Who's that?
Dennis Kucinich.
Well, I'm not surprised.
He said, good. I heard him. They said the guys said, now we're going to, they had microphones there. Let's see if we can pick up any of the small talk. And they turned it up, and Dennis Kucinich shook the president's hand and said, good job, Mr. President. Good speech.
And
Mr. Bush and President Bush said, thank you, sir.
Well,
I think they're cordial to people because there was people.
Well, they are, and that's part of the problem with America today, Jeff, this damned cordiality.
Well, don't you think that it would be a bit embarrassing if they got in a big fight?
No, frankly, I think that somebody cared about America.
I think that's what's, you'll see them, the Koreans, these other countries' governing bodies getting in big fights and stuff.
Yeah, like those heathen English.
Yeah, you don't see us do it. That's what we'll talk it out here, Bob. We'll talk about
Jeff,
it, buddy.
Jeff, time out. Going to take you to school real quick. There have been fist fights in the well of the House of Representatives in our history.
Yeah, but not in the last, 40 years, 30
years?
Yeah,
I know, and I think it's an argument for, removing the ban on dueling.
Or a joust?
Dueling. People got called, that. What do you think happened with Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton?
I don't know.
Yeah, Alexander Hamilton said that Aaron Burr was sleeping with his daughter, and Aaron Burr said, you sorry son of a syphilitic sea cook, come out and say that with a gun in front of you. And he blew Alexander Hamilton away.
SSI and the children of parents who've lost their lives and thing and disabled children, the SSI, that comes out of the general revenue fund.
No, I didn't talk about SSI. I'm talking about the dependent benefits.
That doesn't either.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
How sure?
I looked on one of the websites, but I can recheck and get it for you.
Okay, so
but
that's
I can
not...
guarantee you SSI comes out of the general revenue.
Right. SSI is supplemental security income.
That comes out of the payroll tax. That cannot be hurt by anything that anybody does to Social Security.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Social Security in its entirety, Jeff, is an obligation of the federal government.
Yeah, but that's not that doesn't come out of the payroll tax. It's structured to be an extra tax.
Okay, so
it's
that's
a separate pillar.
So that's why it's such a miserably low amount of money.
What is?
SSI.
I suppose it is. I don't know why. It's where people have said it.
Well, again, like I said, they've stolen the debate from us again. Oh, it's dying. It's a crisis. Well, it's going to fall apart. But the fact of the matter is, the real problem with Social Security is it doesn't pay out enough money and it doesn't pay it out soon enough.
Hey, what do you think about Joe Manchin kind of trying to downsize the government a little bit and talking about privatizing some of these things?
Well, I guess it's the rage that's sweeping the nation, isn't it?
That's just...
but privatization is a nightmare. You know, how many things do we have to privatize before we find out that it doesn't work very well?
What's going on down there is, you know, this is a connected thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people's going to make some money doing that.
Sure. And like I said, I can't wait to see the legislative session open and see us spend 8 weeks debating crossbow hunting.
Yeah.
I will. I'll be running around naked pulling at my hair if they do that.
They're going to take, looking at right now, they're going to take $5 million a month out of the general revenue fund for the workers' comp bill.
It's $5 million a month?
Yeah.
That's $60 million a year, Jeff.
Well, there's 3 months that we ain't going to take out. July, August, and September.
Ooh, we get a break.
Those are what we call them, the cash lean months.
Yeah, that's
we don't make much money there.
That's the go to the beach months. I mean, who are we kidding?
I thought tourism made a lot of money, but I guess it does.
Yeah, well, oh brother, you know, it's disturbing. You know, the last two times you've called in, you said, "Yeah, I'm depressed. I'm disappointed."
I think we got, you know, and the thing what depresses me more is that nobody else cares about it. I've looked in, you know, nobody else is in it like I am about it.
Well, I mean, no, a lot of people have talked about it on these programs, Jeff, and, you know, thank you for, you know, bringing some of this to people's attention.
They're probably tired of hearing me talk
about
it.
No, but around the state, you're on the statewide issue, you're absolutely right. Nobody else is talking about this. Everybody's just assuming that, you know, we're all going to get s'mores. We're all going to get, you know, what, chocolate and marshmallows because we're privatizing workers' comp.
Bobby Kershaw loves it.
Well, you know, what do you...
you listen to him much?
No, mostly I'm asleep.
He's pretty quick.
for a Republican.
He's a pro.
He was making his way up the radio ladder when I was in Morgantown.
Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing that could turn out good out of the privatization thing is the way it's been kind of structured, the West Virginia comp, is that coal and timber has got out of their total obligation of paying because they're in such high risk fields. When we have privatization comes in, it's going to be July 1st, 2008 is the day that starts.
Right.
And when they come in here, you know, there's always going to be companies to cherry pick the good, the jobs that nobody never gets hurt. And thing is, them high risk companies, they're going to have to pay because there's not nobody going to take them cheap.
Yeah, but are we going to go in and pull business licenses? I mean, that this is part of the problem.
Well, they got to have comp. They got to have it.
Well, that's
you
they got to
have it.
They got to pay it now.
Well, not the way it is.
And we let them slide. You know, mom and pop timber operation? Yeah, we'll shut you down. Massey, sorry, no, you just keep doing business.
Well, the state ain't going to have a whole lot to say about it because it's going to be A1 national insurance company.
The state has a say in whether or not you have a license to do business. You know, Liberty Mutual is not going to come in and shut you down, Jeff.
But if
they're just going to say you don't have coverage.
You mean they would let people work without no insurance on their workers? They can't do that.
Who's Liberty Mutual to say? They're just a private company that's in the business of taking in premiums.
So Liberty doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the state. With the governor of West Virginia, if A.T. Massey didn't have no workers' comp and no injury insurance on his workers.
Jeff.
You see what I'm saying?
I do, Jeff. You realize that's happened, you know, time after time after time after time.
What has?
People deadbeating their comp. That's why we're in the trouble we're in.
Yeah, but the state will let you slide. Profit-driven company knows why.
Right. They cancel your coverage.
Yeah, and then the Massey or the coal
company
either has to pay or they can shut them down.
You know what? The state's going to shut them down?
They can't work. You make it against the law. They gotta have it. They gotta have it.
Jeff, repeat after me.
They don't sell it anymore.
Repeat after me. Let's do our Mexican Don Blankenship impression. Laws? We don't need the stinking laws.
Well, okay.
You know, I mean, I'm a little bit of a realist here, okay? I mean, honest to God, I am.
You got anybody else?
Yeah, I do.
Let me let you go. So
all right, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Take care. They try not to be so depressed, all right? Okay, Paul had a clarification. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
I want to clarify something.
Yeah.
Jim was right. The Congress is paying in Social Security.
Are they really?
Yeah. It's a double dip.
Well, bless my soul. I knew
the FERS program.
I knew it had to be good for them.
Hey, they're on both sides of the board. And I want to apologize to Jim. I didn't mean to to say that they didn't have this, but going back on what he's got, yeah, they're double dippers.
I want to be a congressman.
Me too.
Let's all be a congressman, Paul.
And, you know, Jim's right on it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know where he's worked at,
yep,
what he's done. And just like this thing I've been on all this time, and I've been studying it from 1990, but I didn't know what happened to me when I first went into business and going down the tubes real fast.
Yeah.
When they put the law into effect.
Right. And while we're at it, let me just ask you your opinion, Paul. When we get this new, this brand new private workers' compensation company, and let's say one of Massey's little subsidiaries, deadbeats its workers' comp debt, you think the state's going to run right in and shut them down?
Oh, no.
We're still sober, aren't we, Paul?
When we turn this over to private, remember, you're going from private, going from public to private with these things.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the teacher's retirement. It's a pension. It's public. You're running, you're going to try to put it over into private. Then it comes under the safe harbor rule. And they can drop you any time, but when you turn it over to a private insurance company, is it going to be on their insurance, or is it going to be on their second line of business, which is a welfare program?
Oh God! Well, I'm gonna go huddle up in a corner and just shiver somewhere.
See, nobody knows that the government is running two. Now you got your regular public, then you got your separate line of business.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, I got to roll, man.
Okay, bud.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll see you. And Jack, there you are, Jack. Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just thinking, if the president's so patriotic, why is he allowing his helicopter to be built out of the country?
Yeah, I kind of noticed that, too.
You know?
Because he's not patriotic. He's not an American. He's a corporatist, you know?
It's kind of a strange thing.
We've
got people overseas fighting. We're going to let them build our helicopter for us.
Yeah, brother.
That's the only comment I have.
I appreciate it.
All right.
See ya. All right, we're out of time. And, you know, I forgot something. Let me get this out here. Congratulations to Senator Russ Weeks-Minded. His great big Pinecrest conspiracy theory apparently fell on its face today because the Raleigh County Grand Jury returned a no true bill on the great big super-duper extra-secret Pinecrest Hospital conspiracy. don't give up, Senator Weeks-Minded. Even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. That's it for the show. Great job tonight, everybody. From Paul to Wayne, to Jack to Jeff, Kyle, Chris, Terry, your rock meal, Gary, Jim. I write these things. Who is that? Brother. Can't read my own writing. Sorry. Anyway, thanks, everybody. The show, of course, tonight produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, thank God for them, because they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And don't forget to drop by WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks ever so much to them for archiving the program. Hey, Agnes.